I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning, and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, weekdays here 9 to 11, offering up a safe space to the independent thinkers out there, and today to the weather watchful and the weather weary. We are coming live, fully powered station out in Flora, Mississippi, and we've got Jim Thorne, our head news guy, in with us. So, Jim, you've got some updates to tell us what's going on around this area?
Yeah, Mike, thank you. There's you know, everybody knows what's going on. Hurricane down in South Louisiana coming in at 150 mile per hour winds. Same day, 16 years ago, that Katrina, you know, made its way to the Mississippi Gulf Coast. But right now, the latest track that we have of the storm, actually, it's a tropical storm, been downgraded from a hurricane. Tropical storm Ida is now about 100 miles southwest of Jackson. And with 60 mile per hour winds, it's moving to the north at 8 miles per hour. Now, officials are reporting one death so far related to the storm over in Louisiana. And they're saying now about a million customers are without power in Louisiana and Mississippi. And the Jackson area is on the what they call the right front quadrant, and that's going to be the potentially the strongest area for the strongest winds and highest tornado risk in Mississippi, central Mississippi anyway. But the tropical storm warning has been extended to the Golden Triangle, and hopefully this will be moving out of our area by later on tonight. But until then, I think we'll get the strongest weather here in central Mississippi probably around noon, 1 o'clock, that sort of that around that time. And we're already seeing some power outages in central Mississippi. Entergy reporting hundreds are without power. And just a couple of safety tidbits on that. If you are without power and you've got a gas power generator, please don't use them in enclosed spaces such as your indoors, of course, or your garage even. And don't burn charcoal or gas grills in a house, garage, vehicle, or fireplace. So those are some of the things going on, Mike. There's just a lot of information, and the best thing to do is just keep it tuned as much as you can right here to 103.9 WYAB. And when you do hear that EAS alert go off, you know, turn it up, find out what's going on, because it could save your life.
Have there been any tornadoes or anything in the state yet coming up through the Hattiesburg area or South Mississippi?
I haven't heard any. There could have been, of course, that possibility of spin up tornadoes always there, and so that's probably, you know, early to tell what's been going on. I know, you know, when the storm comes through at night like that, you just don't know. But I'll check on that and see if there are any tornadoes. If they are, hopefully they're just very kind of what they call spin-up EF1 or EFO tornadoes. And,
yeah,
and they're down for a moment and then go right back up. Hopefully that's the case if there are any.
Yeah, it looks like, looking at the radar, it looks like it is really kind of breaking up on the top, the 10 o'clock of where the eye is up towards the delta and everything. It looks like it's just kind of falling apart. So
that's the west
news.
Side. You know, of course, that's the west side. Most of the rain and the heavy stuff is going to be on the east side, and that's where we are. And East Mississippi actually has a higher potential of flash flooding than we do right here in Jackson.
Yeah. So. Well, station owner Matt was saying that the eye is looking to come straight over Flora, maybe at some point. I guess it's not a defined eye anymore, though. I'd get excited if I thought we could actually get to the actual eye, blue sky eye.
Blue sky.
Yeah, but I guess that's collapsed by now. But anyway, we'll keep an eye on it, and Jim will come back in and continue to keep us updated on stuff.
Yeah, one more little bit of information. I mentioned this during Clay's show. If you've got animals, You know, and if you're from Louisiana, if you are evacuated here in this area, you can take them to the Mississippi State Fairgrounds for shelter. Barns 7 and 8 are open for small animals, so that's just something. And barn 23 for larger animals, just something to keep in mind.
I talked to a farmer on Saturday. Didn't really even think about it. He's about 35 miles off the coast, and he was just talking about all the preparations. He just put in all new fencing around his farm, which, you know, that's a lot of fencing. And he was talking about, you know, the cows are going to get out, the fences go down, those kinds of things. So I bet a lot of people are trying to move some livestock around.
Yeah. A lot of people moving a lot of things around.
Exactly. Well, so far so good up here, knock on wood. Entergy, are they already out responding to these power outages around central Mississippi?
Probably in central Mississippi they are. And, of course, there are thousands. I think they said something like 10,000 linemen working in Louisiana and in south Mississippi right now. So that's going to be a slow go. But, again, like Clay said, you know, way to go. Kudos off to those folks who are really out there doing it, getting it done for us so that we won't have to suffer too long.
Well, you know, I did see one thing yesterday as I was watching television, and they were running the ticker across the bottom, and Entergy put out a statement saying that outages could be prolonged because the Entergy crews are having to do COVID protocols.
Yeah, well, we'll have to keep that a priority.
Yeah. Right? All right. Thanks, Jim.
You bet.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Break on through.
All right. We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. We'll have Jim Thorne popping back in and out as he gets any headlines around the news. Sounds like it is, you know, these hurricanes, they come in these big bands, so it can be perfectly calm for 1 minute, and then it will unleash the next. So I guess most people are off of school, off of work, just kind of taking it easy today. Hopefully you've got power, I would assume, listening to us. You're either in your car with power. A lot of people sitting out in their cars right now charging their phones. So the power outages are the worst. My son is down in Lafayette, Louisiana. He was getting all geared up for his first big storm. Originally, it really looked like Lafayette was going to get a piece of this thing. He sounded a little nervous. I am somebody who is fascinated. I want to be in the path of a storm. Of course, I've never had any significant damage to anything, never had any loss of life in a family. You know, there's a lot of tragedies around these things, but I'm fascinated by the weather itself. I think my son was a little nervous going into Friday and Saturday, never been around that stuff, and maybe he didn't really have the proclivity that I have for wanting to be around the big storms. I checked in with him today just to see how the night went. I watched. It was interesting. You know, there are some benefits to technology. So my son's down in Lafayette. I didn't want to be bugging him. He's hunkered down with his girlfriend. They're just riding it out in her apartment. He's in college, so is she. But I was able to kind of use an adult baby cam. And just tapped into some of the traffic cams down in Lafayette, found the one that was closest to where he is staying near the University of Louisiana Lafayette campus. I just pulled up a traffic cam and watched it the whole day. It was kind of boring. Now my son is he's depressed. He was a little nervous going in. Now he feels like he was robbed of the experience, which I totally understand. It's interesting stuff. But, you know, I believe this hurricane, and obviously it's not unique, but at this particular point in our history, in the current environment we're in, I think this hurricane is a bit of a teachable moment. Because I think a hurricane is a good reminder to all of us out here how little control we have over nature. And at least we still have a rational, normal approach to hurricanes. What do we do when a hurricane hits? We try to track it. We try to predict it. Your people come on the air and tell you where they think it's headed. They let the people know who are in the path of this thing, the people who are vulnerable. They will predict, look, it looks like we have possibilities of water rising here in this particular area. These are the places that are vulnerable to this storm. Take your particular precautions. You might want to leave if you're on Grand Isle. I was watching live footage yesterday of Grand Isle, and I was watching, the camera I was watching, I checked it a few times during the day. This was as it was making landfall, just absolutely violent action on the ocean. And in the background, you could see one of these houses on stilts as the water goes up. That house was still standing. I cannot for the life of me. I want to see the construction. I bet I could find this on YouTube. I want to see the construction of one of these stilt houses directly on the coast that survived these storms. It looked like the roof should have been ripped off and the thing should have just been toppled. It was just absolutely amazing. But they tell the people of Grand Isle, the point I'm making is the approach to hurricanes like this is still rational. You identify who's at risk, and you direct to those people to do the best thing that they can do to mitigate their personal risk. And then the people take all of that information, and for the most part, they make all their individual decisions. If we approached a hurricane the way that we have approached COVID over the past year, we would have been telling people in Wisconsin to stock up on food and water and stay off the roads today because a hurricane is hitting the Gulf Coast, the Mississippi and Louisiana coasts. See, we had a COVID. We've had a virus going around to which the elderly and the already very sick were vulnerable to this thing. And instead of directing all of our efforts and calling out to the vulnerable and letting them know what's going on and the precautions they should take, we just we took healthy people and told them to stay in their homes. We've taken children that are not susceptible and we've put them in masks. We've stripped them of 18 years of their lives. And so the approach to a hurricane should be the approach to everything else. Nature is nature. Hurricane gonna hurricane, just like virus gonna virus. At least with a hurricane, we don't have meteorologists out there telling us what we have to do en masse across the entire country, what vulnerable or not, because they think that they can control every single outcome. And here's another teachable moment of this. Even with all of the precautions that are told to people to do, to evacuate, to board up windows, tragedies are still going to happen. It is the inescapable truth of life on planet Earth. There is a randomness to life and death that cannot be overcome. There is no bureaucrat, no politician, no health authority or meteorologist that can mitigate all risk to everybody all the time. I saw a story this morning. There was a 100-year-old building in New Orleans that was turned into a pile of bricks. And this building, obviously being 100 years old, had survived the Katrinas, the Camilles. I don't know if Camille was bad on New Orleans or not, but obviously New Orleans has had a lot of bad storms, a lot of bad flooding over the past 100 years. Somehow this building makes it through Katrina, but it falls during Ida. There's just a randomness to these things. And this is what life is, too. Sometimes you make it through something. Sometimes you don't. I'm seeing stories all over the place where people are just jumping on anybody who's been opposed to the experimental vaccine when they die. You can go look at Drudge Report today. There's a couple of headlines. Anti-vax radio show host dies in Florida. Anti-mask protester dies in Texas. And there are also stories of people who were masked, socially distanced for the past 18 months, locked down, and got the vaccine, and then got really sick, and some of them who died. We don't see as many stories about that, but it does happen. There is a randomness to life that we need to learn to accept. And with hurricanes, at least we still do understand that. There are some mandatory evacuations of certain places. As a libertarian guy, I'm even opposed to mandatory evacuations because I believe you should be put on notice that nobody's coming to save you if you stay here. You do not have the right to require a first responder to risk their lives to come get you. The understanding should be very clear, but even with mandatory evacuation orders, even with boarded up windows, even with people getting plenty of gasoline and getting food, even with people in low-lying areas moving, tragedies happen. And it's exactly what we've seen over the last 18 months. Some people succumb to a virus. Virus gonna virus, just like hurricane gonna hurricane. and why we have accepted that with storms. Because there are going to become tragic stories. I'm seeing stories. I really haven't gotten a ton of footage out of New Orleans. And yesterday watching the news, you know, it was still too fresh. And then we went into the night, so I'm sure the stories will come out. I really can't get a feel for exactly how bad it was in New Orleans. It sounded like Metairie and Kenner were really getting beat up last night, probably around 7 or 8 o'clock when I was watching the news. I used to live in Kenner and worked in Metairie. Do you want to know something? I lived in New Orleans and Baton Rouge for a couple of years when I was in the restaurant business and got transferred down there, moved around a little bit. I lived in New Orleans, I believe, for about 16, 17 months before I was transferred to Baton Rouge. I lived in Kenner, and this was back in the early 1990s. I did not know until yesterday that Kenner was west of New Orleans. I really felt like it was due north of New Orleans, that you came across the bridge, you went through Kenner, you went south to Metairie, and then south down into New Orleans. Sometimes I'm really, it's very interesting. I do a lot of research. I mean, I think I read more than the average bear, for sure. It's amazing sometimes how the things I don't even know. I was talking to friends from down there. I lived in Kenner, I worked in Metairie, I spent a lot of time around New Orleans. I've been going back and forth there most of my adult life for events and to party. Never understood the geography of New Orleans, but living out in Kenner, it sounds like they got beat up. So we're going to find out exactly what took place. But again, this just seems like a teachable moment. We should handle everything the way we handle a hurricane. Best advice, best precautionary advice, and then just hope for the best. Do your best to mitigate a problem. See, with COVID, the vulnerable people in this country were the elderly, particularly in nursing homes. It was people who were already very sick with other things that were taxing their immune system, and it was the obese. That is the little segment of the country that you could kind of tuck down into Mississippi and Louisiana and say, look, these are the people that need to take precautions. Our COVID, Dr. Anthony Fauci, if he was in charge of hurricanes, he would have told the people in Phoenix, Arizona, to stock up on water because there's a hurricane coming. He would have told them to stay in, locked in their homes, stay off the roads today, there's a hurricane coming. And the people in Phoenix would be looking around going, what the hell are you talking about? I'm not vulnerable to this hurricane. I'm just going to live my life. There are 90% of the American population that should have just been living their lives, taking in the words of caution from health authorities, from politicians, that there's a bad bug going around. But 90% of the people in this country should have just been living a normal life for the past 18 months. Because the threat of COVID to them was no worse than the regular flu every year, which we live through. And you know what? Every year with the flu, there are tragedies. Really sad stuff. Kids die from the flu every year. A lot of senior citizens die from the flu every year. There is a tragedy. People who get flu shots die. There is a randomness to life or death that we need to accept. And I'm telling you, this is why I believe this is such a teachable moment, is because this COVID stuff is not over. They are going to continue to treat us like telling people in Iowa to prepare for Hurricane Ida. They are going to continue to pretend they can control nature. That if you just do exactly what they say, we'll not have any problems. There will be no tragedies. This zero case, they're doing this down in New Zealand and Australia, really, New Zealand in particular. Zero cases of COVID. They can't accept a single case. They shut down the whole country for 7 days last week because they had one case of COVID in New Zealand. The control freaks need to understand you do not control nature. It's a sad fact of life that these things come and they go, and some people are left behind, and most of us soldier on. Hurricanes should be our example for how we treat all natural things.
Your arms around me, I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding, I need your love. So much. You tell me that.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and back with us is our newsman, Jim Thorne. Jim, any updates?
I know we have people here in central Mississippi, hotels and everything from south Mississippi, Louisiana. Rain and wind is continuing across south Mississippi, and that's still potentially dangerous conditions for those areas. Several roads are flooded. Emergency management officials in all six lower Mississippi counties are warning people to stay off the roads. And both Harrison and Hancock County still have curfews in effect. And I just saw this, Mike, a tornado warning now in effect for East Jackson County along the Gulf Coast. As far as we're concerned, storm Ida, now a tropical storm, moving northward into the southwestern portion of our state. It's latest report, which is a few hours ago, about 100 miles south-southwest of Jackson. We should get an update on that soon, but it's moving slowly, Mike, at 8 miles per hour to the north with winds of 60 miles per hour. We are already seeing quite a few power outages here in central Mississippi. And, of course, we're still going to get some heavy rain throughout the day today on into tonight, and we could see here in central Mississippi up to 10 inches of rain total before it's all over, as we are on the right front quadrant of this tropical storm. And if you're planning on traveling, well, that's probably best not to, but just know that tropical storm warning extends now to the Golden Triangle. And so we got a ways to go, Mike, before all this is over, hopefully later on tonight.
Have there been any reports out of Natchez? Natchez was watched some of their press conference yesterday with their mayor, Dan Gibson, who I went to high school with. I was actually served on the newspaper staff with him at Murrah High School back in the day. But I saw him talking about it, and he was bringing up the fact that they're the highest city on the bluff right there on the river, and it sounded like, mm-hmm. High winds there. The beautiful old oaks, they last for, when they topple, it is tragic. I mean, those are big, heavy trees, but they've got a lot of those. Any reports out of Natchez at all?
I haven't seen anything, Mike. I do know this, New Orleans, of course, is reeling. I mean, it's just no electricity in the city. Buildings have come down in some areas, devastation. And I heard yesterday when this thing was coming, making landfall down in very extreme south Louisiana, that it actually caused the Mississippi River to flow backwards.
Yeah.
Unreal.
It was powerful coming out and watching some of those pictures of the waves. I was talking about last segment. How do these houses that are built up on stilts survive these things? I was watching a house just stand, it looked rock solid, and you would just expect it would be pushed over or the roof ripped off, and those houses stand strong.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, hopefully all of them will stand strong because it's a pounding that they haven't seen in a long, long time. The very day that Katrina hit 16 years ago, that's when Ida came ashore yesterday.
Yeah. Poor New Orleans. Boy, this is going to be an ominous date on their calendar.
Fortunately, though, I think that most of the levees are holding this time.
Yeah.
So that's if there's some something to be thankful for, that would be one.
Yeah, I clicked on a lot of videos yesterday saying flooding reported in New Orleans, expecting to see something catastrophic. I really didn't see much. I'm sure there's some low-lying areas. I mean, they are in a bowl.
Oh, sure.
But but I did not see anything really tragic. I think they've put $14 billion into the levees since Katrina, so it's good to know at least that money may have paid off.
Yeah. So continue to expect heavy rainfall and gusty winds here in central Mississippi, and if you don't have to travel, don't.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Jim.
You bet.
Yeah, we'll keep on top of that pretty much every half hour if there's any updates. And, of course, we're running the emergency alert system for storms as they come. This is the weird thing about hurricanes at our level here. They just come in these big bands, so it goes from nothing to something pretty quickly. So careful out there. I started saying it earlier. I don't know if we got cut off by EAS, but I was watching yesterday the crawler at the bottom of the screen. Entergy put out a statement saying that might need to expect longer outages because Entergy was having to observe COVID rules, so outages might be extended. Now, I got to tell you, from what I understand, part of Entergy's job is to be outside up on a pole somewhere or doing some kind of a thing. What are they got to wash their hands before and after touching everything? Are they? I don't know. I'm just telling you, we seem to have completely lost our minds. I was talking about really the randomness of life on Earth, and we just cannot control nature. And another thing like that is climate change. We've got control freaks running the show. With a hurricane, it's still normal. We understand who's at risk and what we can do about it, and the rest we just leave to God. We just pretty much say, this is something, this is what happens here. We've learned to coexist with hurricanes. Nobody wants them. Nobody's excited to see them coming when they're targeting your home. But we've just come to realize if you live in certain areas, something's going to happen. Some people live in earthquake zones. We still treat earthquakes the same way. They're just a fact of life. Nobody wants them. There's tragedies when earthquakes hit. But we've just learned to live with them. But when it comes to COVID and climate change, we've got a bunch of people saying, oh, we can control this. We can leave it to us. You surrender all of your freedoms to us. We're going to take a good chunk of your money. We're going to tell you what you can and can't buy. We're going to tell you where you can and can't go. We're going to micromanage businesses and churches and schools and children and everything else. We're in control here. I don't know if you've noticed. They're not doing it. They're not controlling anything because you do not control nature. You know, it's talking about with climate change. What do electric car owners in New Orleans do right now? If you've got a grid down situation for days, possibly weeks, I don't know. Hopefully this thing in New Orleans is not as catastrophic as it sounded originally. But I got to tell you, feels like we're not quite, you know, ready, you know, many instances to have nothing but electric vehicles, which is what they're trying to switch us to, all in the name of course, climate change. They are somehow going to allow the temperature on planet Earth to rise 1.5 degrees Celsius over the next 10 years, and then they're going to cut it right off there because they believe that they can actually do that. But there is a randomness to climate and weather on planet Earth, just like there is a randomness with flus, just like there is a randomness with hurricanes, just like there's a randomness with earthquakes, we need to just learn to coexist with things that are hard to predict, things that are dangerous to our lives. But we have literally got people that rule over us and set policies to control us where they say, no, you give us enough power, we're going to stop this temperature rise 1.5 degrees from here. It's patently absurd. The randomness of the climate, it depends entirely on when you were born as to what kind of experience you will have with climate and weather. The fact that you and I are here right now, completely random. People who are born in a couple of thousand years may be born into an ice age. We have no idea. Nobody actually knows. That's the dirty little secret of it. Nobody knows what the climate's going to be like in 10 years, 20 years, 200 years, 2,000 years, or 200,000 years. Nobody knows. There's a randomness to it. To think that we have control over the temperature on Earth at any time is absolutely ridiculous, but these are the same control freaks running the show. So again, more teachable moments, I believe. But I do ask. There may be some Tesla owners that were driving proud last week. This week, they're what, hitching a ride? You know, you can just imagine what happens in New Orleans in 30 years when they are all electric vehicles. This is the goal. And with the kind of political leadership that they have in New Orleans itself, electing some of the worst mayors, I'm sure that they will follow any dictate, but we're going to make New Orleans 100% zero emissions, all electric by 2030. Yeah, that might not be a great idea for you guys down there, judging by what is taking place right now as we speak. You want to take a city to its knees? Take away its internal combustion engines. Yeah, the green thing is, it's got a few holes in it. I don't know if you've noticed. Not a lot of room for error when it comes to moving us all and forcing us all to be dependent on something. You're in an all-electric New Orleans in 30 years when a storm like this hits. The one man, the one guy who held on to his antique internal combustion engine, is the newest millionaire in New Orleans, as he will be the most popular guy there. I'll be right back. I have kind of endlessly whined about the fact that I have a free trip to Hawaii and have had it since the beginning of 2020. And Hawaii doesn't want me, apparently, an unvaccinated person from a state with a spike. I mean, Hawaii has basically been shut down, and what's been open has been just no fun from seeing the rules. So I'm just whining about the fact that I've got a free trip to Hawaii, which does not come around very often, and I can't seem to get there. But I will say, outside of the WYAB studios here, we've got palm trees that are blowing in the breeze today. So this may be the closest that I get, unfortunately. I got Jim Thorne back with us now. Jim, you said there are some road closures people need to be aware of.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there's some minor roads, back roads that are got some limbs and that sort of thing down. But the Department of Transportation is asking residents and motorists to stay off the roads and stay home. There are trees down across the state, debris blocking many of the roadways, and responders are working to clear these. But a couple of the main highways right now that are having some issues, Interstate 20 past State Route 481, that's in the Morton, Raleigh area, Exit 80 in Scott County, and also U.S. Highway 49 at Main Street, Star Road in Rankin County. So those are in our listing area, so just be aware of that. If you have to be on the road, those areas are causing some problems.
Is that trees or flooding?
So I would think it would be trees, Mike. It didn't say on this report, but I'm thinking it's probably trees. Just, you know, stay off the road if you can. I know there's some emergency times that we have to get on the roads, but right now, if you don't have to go, stay put.
Yeah, okay. All right, thanks, Jim.
You
appreciate
bet.
That. Yeah, it's going to be hit and miss today. I'm looking at the radar myself now, and I'm not the classically trained news guy that Jim Thorne is, but look, this thing is it is kind of winding its way. The eye, it's disorganized now, but the eye certainly looks to be getting towards this area, Rankin County. I mean, the difference between what we're seeing on radar between Rankin County and even Madison County is stark. But Rankin County certainly used to their weather over there. I tell you what, you're in Tornado Alley. Being a storm chaser is on my bucket list. My apologies to anybody who's listening who may have some PTSD from being through bad storms. Again, I sit from an area, and my perspective is from an area person who's, you know, never had any casualty, any loss of property or loss of life in my family to a storm. So I imagine I'm always on guard for being a little glib towards this stuff. I'm just fascinated by the forces of nature. Fascinated by earthquakes. Fascinated. I think I'm a little drawn to chaos a little bit. Not so much the worldwide chaos we're seeing right now that is really taxing my sanity. But when it comes to natural stuff, volcanoes, any of it, I'm just absolutely I'm absolutely fascinated by all of it. And being a storm chaser, this is on my bucket list. And I was talking to a friend of mine down in Baton Rouge yesterday. She is now down there without power. Baton Rouge got hit pretty good. It certainly got a lot of wind. They didn't get near the rain, I think, that they thought they were going to, but she lost power last night about 10 o'clock. But it turns out she's into the storm stuff, too. So I may have found a storm-chasing buddy. This is on my bucket list. I've got to I want to get out there. Maybe I should just start dipping my toe in the water by going out to Rankin County just about every time we have a storm, because they certainly do attract some tornadoes out there. So we'll see. It looks like we've only got a few more hours of this to go. So this will be long past us, and hopefully Entergy is out there getting everybody's power back where it needs to be. I'm going to do next hour. We're going to have Jim come in and do his updates as things do take place around here. But I'm going to do a bit of a normal show today. And I've got statistics. I love my statistics here because they're great ways to put things into context, to get some level of perspective on the way the world goes, and particularly when it comes around to COVID stuff. I mean, I've got a lot of statistics today. This is always the problem with a Monday show, is when I have 3 days to show prep, particularly kind of a bad weather time, where I'm not out and about. I've got a lot of show prep time, so I have too much to cover. I did want to play this, though. I thought this was hilarious. Let's see if I can pull this up real quick. We know there's the recall effort is going on out in California. I can't remember the date of that recall election. Hopefully they're going to get rid of Gavin Newsom. You know Gavin Newsom, the governor who shut down his state and bossed all of his people around while he dined in luxury at the French Laundry, one of the most expensive restaurants in the country. This is absolutely hilarious. And, you know, I've told you that the things that have kept me alive and kept me sane over the past year have been memes, funny memes. They don't even have to all be political or even about COVID. It's just, you know, Americans, I don't know how many times I've got to say this. If we did not have a political class in this country, I don't think we could even understand how great we would have it here. If we had free markets and real freedom in the United States and the political class was kind of in the background, we didn't really notice them. None of us subscribed to being R's or D's or left or right, or we were just living our lives within our community. I don't think people have any idea how great it would be, how friendly people would be. We would see so much more humor. We can't even have, in the days of cancel culture, we can't even have humor in comedy clubs anymore. Comedians don't even feel like they have the ability to go out and be funny for fear of being canceled. But leave it to some ordinary citizens. I want you to listen. This is the intercom. Let's see. I'm not sure if this is LAX or if this was San Francisco's intercom. But it was a California airport. Listen to who gets paged over the intercom. I love this.
Delta Airlines is paging. Recall Newsom. Please meet your party at complex 825. Delta Airlines is paging. Recall Newsom. Please meet your party at complex 825.
Paging. Recall Newsom. You know, if they're going to use computers to run us, if they've decided to fire all the human beings and let AI and the robots take over, well, AI and robots is a little bit easier to trick into that kind of stuff. So somebody called to have Recall Newsom paged at the airport. That's genius. I'm just telling you, people. The vast majority of my life is revolves around when I'm around anybody. Even in business settings, I'm trying to bring some levity and some humor to stuff because that's what makes life interesting to me. Even when I'm texting, I've got group text with groups of guys I've been friends with for 40 years, and it is nonstop. You may think this is nerdy. It's just pun wars. Somebody puts out a picture, and then there's just about 40 puns. Everybody digging for whatever they can come up with to these are doctors, lawyers, teachers, radio show hosts. It's everybody weighing in. This is what our lives could be like if we had the freedom to just run our lives and didn't have this political class constantly agitating us. Now, I'll say the Recall Newsom thing, it is actually hilarity created by the political class, but I'll sacrifice that humor and just let us go to the grocery store. People aren't brawling in the aisles. We just coexist. Go to a bar, go to a restaurant, go to a ball game, go to a movie. We all just coexist. We have no idea the potential of our quality of life in the United States if we got this political class, this parasite class off of us. And I'm talking to all of you. If you're following the right wing, the Republicans, you're following the left wing, the Democrats, you're screwing it up for all of them.
I see the shadows on my face. People have told me I don't look the same. Maybe I lost weight. I'm playing hooky with the best of the best.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and we are coming to you live here in the eye of the storm, just about. And we've got newsman Jim Thorne in with us. Jim, so what's the latest update?
Speaking of the eye, Mike, looks like, just checking the radar a moment ago, and it looks like the eye is just to the east of Port Gibson in Fayette. And, of course, it's moving to the north generally, but not a lot of rain to the south and southwest of there, but still a lot of rain to the north and to the east of there as we're experiencing right now. The Highway Patrol, the Department of Transportation, is urging residents to stay off the roads, stay home if possible. They said that trees are down across the state, debris blocking many roadways. Here in central Mississippi, debris is causing some problems on Interstate 20 past State Route 481. That's the Morton-Raleigh exit 80 in Scott County. And also U.S. Highway 49 at Main Street, Star Road in Rankin County. Crews are working to clear those areas as quickly as possible. And as far as the weather down on the coast, they're still experiencing some tough weather. There's a tornado warning in effect now for the Pascagoula, Gauche, and Moss Point area until 10:30 this morning. And here in central Mississippi, of course, we're still under that tropical storm warning for the rest of the day. A flash flood watch through tonight, and there's that possibility of tornadoes associated with severe storms as they come through our area. After all this is over, Mike, hopefully I think we're going to see some sunshine tomorrow with pretty normal temperatures and weather.
It does feel nice outside right now. I went down there to sit and try to observe some wind or something. It feels nice. It's almost nice to have the cool.
Yeah, and, you know, it'd be a good time if you had a porch to kind of stay out there, the breeze, but if it's not too windy. I don't think the wind is really kicking up like they were expecting at this point.
Yeah, it feels like it. What I tell you, you know, I watch a lot of the media. They do get excited about these storms, and you can sometimes see where they're really grasping at things. They get a little upset when it's not as catastrophic as they thought. That's yeah. Kind of their moment to shine.
Well, catastrophic. Louisiana got hit hard. 1 million customers without power in Louisiana and some parts of Mississippi. And it's going to be a while before they recover.
Yeah, that's poor New Orleans. I'll tell you what, they just 16 years kind of back-to-back of some pretty bad ones. That's yeah, a lot to take. You know, when you exactly. start getting things within recent memory, people start making decisions about where to live at that
yeah.
point.
Yeah.
You know, once in a lifetime is one thing. Once every decade or so, that gets to be a little tedious.
Well, keep in mind, keep listening for those EAS tones as they go off, and listen in, and we'll try to keep you updated through them.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, Mike.
All right. We will soldier on. I've got other news. I'm going to say, you know, the way we're handling a hurricane, these things happen. It's not to dismiss any of the tragedies of it, but at least we have learned and accepted as a species that there are risks to life. But when it comes to COVID, we have been told that just surrender all of your personal autonomy, all of your freedoms, and put the experts in charge and everything will be fine. You know, I started off this show saying I think this is a teachable moment. What we do for a hurricane is we inform the people who are vulnerable to problems from it. With this particular one, it has been the state of Louisiana and now the state of Mississippi. We were the vulnerable ones. Not Wisconsin was not at any risk of this thing. We didn't need to. They're not telling them in Wisconsin to stay off the roads today because there's a hurricane in Mississippi. But that's how we handle COVID. We put everybody under the same restrictions and treated everybody like they're at mortal risk. I actually have some of the numbers. There's a new report out. This is a new COVID preprint by doctors Ioannidis and Axforce at Stanford. I want you to listen to this infection survival rate. And remember, not everybody has even gotten this thing. But of the infected, this is important to understand within the context of risk mitigation. Again, we have treated our children by masking them, forcing them to stay at home, closing their schools, closing all of their activities, canceling all of their sports, canceling all of their milestone events like homecomings and proms and things like this. We have treated our children just like the vulnerable. It is the same thing as telling people in Wisconsin today that they need to stay off the roads because there's a bad storm in Mississippi. It makes just as much sense. This preprint from Stanford University has come out, and they have seen now over the course of the past 18 months what the infection survival rate is for different age groups. And listen to this. Your chance of surviving a COVID infection, and again, not everybody's going to get this thing. If you are infected with COVID and have been shown as a – and the thing is, it's probably even better than this because a lot of people have – been exposed to COVID and their bodies fought it off and they don't even know and they didn't get tested. So that we know there's a lot more people that have had COVID, but of the recognized clinical cases, diagnosed cases of COVID in the 0 to 19 year range. And again, let me say, these are the people, these are the kids that we have stolen a year of their lives, a year of their short lives, taken all kinds of things away from them that make childhood so great, things that I look back on with such fondness. My senior year at Murrah High School, are you kidding me? One of the best years of my entire life. We stripped that from our kids. Their survival rate, even if they contract the disease, and again, not every kid in high school would have contracted in the first place, their survival rate is 99.9973%. 0 to 19 years old, survival rate, 99.9973%. Yet Thomas Dobbs believed that they should all be gagged all day long, breathing in their own bacteria, breathing in funguses, being stripped of their rites of passage, when they have a 99.9973% chance of survival. For 20 to 29-year-olds, how many of them got kicked out of their jobs, had their concerts canceled, all of the things that make life worth living? If you're 20 to 29, your survival rate, if you are infected with COVID, 99.986%. 30 to 39, again, these are middle-aged, beginning to be middle-aged people, people established in their careers. These are business owners, yet we closed down their businesses. We destroyed their businesses. Their survival rate, 99.969%. 40 to 49-year-olds. These are parents. These are people doing productive things with their lives, really hitting their professional stride. We knocked them off of the balance beam. Their survival rate is 99.918%, 40 to 49-year-old. 50 to 59 years old. Survival rate, 99.73%. 60 to 69, 99.41%. Here's their vulnerable group. And I wish they'd gone up to 80 and stuff, but this is 70 years plus. Their survival rate, if they were not in a non-institutionalized, not in a elder care home, but they were able to, you know, separate themselves at their home, take more precautions because they're not around, they don't have nursing staff, things like that. 70 plus, their survival rate is 97.6%. For all people over 70 years old, survival rate was, if you got COVID, and again, it doesn't mean that every single person over 70 years old in this country was going to catch a severe case of COVID, but if you were diagnosed with COVID and you're 70 years old, your survival rate is 94.5%. There's your vulnerable group, 70 and over. Again, to tie it to the hurricane, these are the people that are in, like the people that are in Mississippi and Louisiana. They're at risk of this storm. The rest of the country, go about your business. Am I making sense with this? Do you see the insanity of the COVID response, which is for all of these other age groups from 0 to 69 years old, they had less than one half of 1% of succumbing to this thing, which is very similar to the flu. And for younger people, even much lower risk than the flu. Yet we allowed the Anthony Faucis, the Thomas Dobbs, the Tate Reeves, although he's on the better side of the ledger, he still did micromanage restaurants that 20 to 29-year-olds like to go to, closed the bars early, made people take out tables from their restaurants, even though these 20 to 29-year-olds had a 99.983% survival rate. We stripped them of everything that makes life worth living. It's really quite unbelievable. I just believe this is a teachable moment. We don't control nature. No amount of regulations, arbitrary regulations from Tate Reeves, is going to control a virus. And if you believe that, well, Mike, it would have been worse had we not X, Y, Z, I will dissuade you of that notion when we come back. Stay with me.
A werewolf with a Chinese menu in his in Soho in the rain.
He was looking for the place. You know, my stance is I'm not going to give up my freedoms for any reason because, as they say, I'm a grown-ass man. My children did not have any freedom until they turned 18 years old, and I had 17 years to work with them and to try to instill in them some independent thinking, some rational thought. And then when they hit 18, you know, I'm there. I'm paying for college. I'm paying for apartments and cars and stuff like that. So there's still rules and stuff, but I pretty much decided, you know, my job was to train my children how to think, and then they need to be eased over their college years into a level of freedom, and then they're on their own. I'm always there with advice, but I no longer force them to do anything. I ain't your child. And the thing that is driving me crazy about our response to COVID, and I think it's so illustrative right now, I think this hurricane is a teachable moment, as I keep saying, is not only do I not need anybody to run my life, they're not doing it well. I just read to you the survival rates by age group, and basically if you're under 70 years old, you should have lived the last year like nothing was happening. A few extra precautions, maybe. But masks? But Mike, if they hadn't done what they did, the survival rate wouldn't be near that good. That's what a lot of people will say. The truly irrational, those clinging to the last vestiges of insanity. 2 months into Israel's reinstated mask mandate, cases are up. Get ready for this. Those of you out there driving around right now with your mask on, for the love of God, please listen to me. 2 months into Israel's reinstated mask mandate, cases are up 7,970%. Higher than last year's summer peak and rapidly approaching the all-time high from January. 2 months into Israel's reinstated mask mandate, cases are up 7,970%. But Mike, with no mask mandate, cases would be up 12,000%. Is that the logic that is being used to rebut the quite obvious data that shows you that masks don't do anything? Holy cow. 2 months into Israel's reinstated mask mandate, cases are up 7,970%. It's also beginning to become clear that vaccine immunity begins to wane after about 6 months. The Israeli studies show that for people vaccinated more than 6 months ago, the effectiveness of the vaccine at stopping coronavirus dropped to as low as anyone? 16%. 16% is what this vaccine is doing right now for them in Israel. 16%, and our FDA approves it here. For those of you still clinging to this, but Mike, if they didn't do the school closures, if they didn't do the mask mandates, if they didn't do the forced social distancing, if they didn't shut down our churches, if they didn't shut down our businesses, if they didn't force us all to stay at home, it would have been so much worse. Let's take a look at Europe. I've got all of the European country statistics here. This is the 14-day death notification rate per 1 million inhabitants for this latest reporting period coming out of Europe. In France, where people are struggling, fighting, taking to the streets to try to regain their freedom from just draconian lockdown and mandates in France, their death rate per 100,000 is 16.67%. Okay? Round it up. You know, if it's past half, you round up. I'll round down just to be kind to you hysterical people out there who believe these things work. I'll round down. In France, 16 people per 1 million are dying from COVID right now. In Spain, 25 people per 1 million. Now, I know that's not a lot within a million, but just bear with me for a second here. These are places that have had draconian lockdowns. In Italy, nine people per million. So 16 in France, 25 in Spain, 9 in Italy. Let's take a look at the country that dare not be named, Sweden. 0.29. 1/3 of one person died. Now, I don't know exactly how that happens. 0.29%. The countries that did all of the most draconian stuff, France, 16 people die. In Sweden, it's 1/3 of one person. They did nothing. No mask mandates. No forced social distancing. No school closures. Their kids were jumping rope outside unmasked all of last year. Portugal, they had 16 people per 1 million. Greece, which is now seeing violent protest against the horrible lockdowns and mandates, vaccine passports, 29 people. Sweden, which has done nothing, 0.29. Greece, 100 times worse. At 28 people. 29 people, rounded up. You know, if you want to give up your freedoms, that's totally up to you. You can voluntarily do that. You can take every word out of Thomas Dobbs or Anthony Fauci's mouth to heart, and you can live your life that way. Just please leave the rest of us alone. Let me be Sweden in your Europe. And I guarantee you I have a better outcome than you do. You go be France. Live your life like a French lockdown if you want to. Let me be Sweden. Now, I will say here in the United States and here locally, it was nice to see the Mississippi Institutes of Higher Learning did reject a mandate for vaccines. Kudos to them. This means that they will not go across the state universities here in Mississippi and force vaccinations on our children. Do I need to read the survival statistic again for our college-age kids? 99.9973%. So the Institutes for Higher Learning here in Mississippi are not completely insane, but I'll tell you what was most frustrating about this is as I listened to this, I only heard voices. They were just showing some of their stock photo of the colleges and stuff, but there were people that were obviously interviewed by phone from the board at the Institutes of Higher Learning. And it seemed to me, listening to the voices, it seemed like the black members were the ones pushing for forcing vaccines. And I have found myself really wondering why. How is it possible that of all the people that we have in our society, black people are not the most appreciative of freedom? I mean, it's within recent memory that many, many black people remembered the government making arbitrary rules for them that were not in their best interest. How has it flipped on its head to where now you've got the two black members? There were two black members that I heard from the board at IHL. And I'm not sure how many board members there are, but I'm pretty sure both of the black members that were interviewed by phone really felt like the colleges should force their students against their will because the willing students have already gotten the damn shot. And I listened to it and I thought, wow, you want to talk about a goldfish mentality. How is it possible that any black leader anywhere should be for the government forcing people to do something against their will and then segregating out and discriminating against the people that aren't in the favor of the government? Does the black community not remember a time not that long ago where people were discriminated against, where they were given lesser facilities, not allowed in certain restaurants, not allowed to do the things that other people in society could do just by virtue of their status in that society? You actually want to, is this, and I don't know if they've noticed at IHL, the black community not uptaking this vaccine in a really big way. So the Institutes of Higher Learning, these two black board members, really wanted to force the black community, obviously against their will, because they're not lining up to get this shot. But these two black members decided that they needed to force it. And if they don't force it, they want a bunch of black kids who aren't taking the vaccine right now. If they can't be forced to do it, they want them to just not get a college education. I mean, I was just absolutely stunned by that. to our black brothers and sisters, please, for the love of God, remember your fight for freedom. And even if you are jabbed, don't call for other people to be discriminated against, kicked out of colleges, denied access to education because they don't do what you say. I tell you what, you're not thinking clearly about your history. I'll be right back.
Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. You want to hear something really bizarre, something I never thought I would live to see in my lifetime, and I would imagine many of you feel the same way? Former Soviet Union has more freedom than the United States. I lived through the Cold War. I remember Rocky versus Ivan Drago. I remember the U.S. victory, hockey victory over the Soviet Union. I remember the old end of the Cold War where we tamped down communism, totalitarian control. And here we find ourselves now. And this is for all of you employers out there that are thinking about forcing your employees to get a vaccination against their will. Excuse me. In that context in particular, I don't want to use the term vaccination. You're forcing them to get a shot. It doesn't prevent anything. I'm going to prove that to you in a second, too. Russian President Vladimir Putin says that while people need to get vaccinated to, quote, overcome this pandemic, unquote, nobody's job should be on the line if they refuse. Quote, vaccination is the main weapon against the spread of the virus. Importantly, and I disagree with him on that, but just listen to this and understand, this is coming from a former KGB agent in communist Soviet Union. Vaccination is the main weapon against the spread of this virus. Importantly, no one, this is Vladimir Putin, former KGB agent, says no one should be forced to get a jab. Pressure where people may lose their jobs is even less acceptable. This is Vladimir Putin. This goes out to all of you employers out there. Do you understand that this is a former KGB agent from the Soviet Union that is in favor of more freedom for people than the people running hospitals like UMMC? I mean, think about that for a second. The KGB, not a kid gloves organization, not a charity. One of the top guys at the KGB believes that no one should be forced to get a jab. Pressure where people may lose their jobs is even less acceptable. People must be convinced of the need to get the vaccine, he says. Vladimir Putin is more in favor of individual human rights than the leadership at University Medical Center and many other employers around here. To all of you employers, rethink your stance in history right now. You are now more of a totalitarian than a former KGB agent of the Soviet Union. It's just something to maybe think about. I don't know if you've seen this, too, if you want to get people on the vaccine train, and I mean train, or maybe hamster wheel is a better way to put it. There's a headline now. Now boosters within. Anyone? Anyone? They started at 8 months, right? Well, first it was no boosters. Then they said 8 months. And now they said six. And now there's a headline. Now boosters within 5 months? So all of you out there thinking you're getting your freedom back, you didn't actually. You're still in a mask. You're still forced to do all of the rituals, the religious rituals of the COVID cult. But now your freedom's only good for about 5 months. Enjoy it. Go out there and live your life for 5 months till they slam, shut the door on you. A COVID shot every 5 months had me thinking, remembering this little clip from Animal House.
Thank you, sir. May I have another? Thank you, sir. May I have another? Thank you, sir. May I have another?
That's the thinking of the people on the vaccine train now. Thank you, sir. May I have another? And be careful, because Fauci said vaccines for 12 years old and under is going to be presented to the FDA in about a month. So parents, get ready. They're coming for your young children. And I am just about 100% sure the FDA, as I've explained to you, are vaccine salespeople. They're not a health authority. They're not a protective agency. They're a vaccine sales organization or a drug sales organization. They're just the marketing arm. They're kind of like as seen on TV. You know, they're just something to slap on to a product to make it appear like it's in big demand, like it's approved. The FDA will approve this thing for under 12-year-olds, and I find myself asking why, because here's some more statistics to you. I told you, I love statistics. Statistics are fun. And they're also very important. This is the UK, England. Again, I am your only foreign correspondent, because I have to go get news from all around the world to bring it back to you, to let you know what's going on out there, because all we hear now is pandemic of the unvaccinated. From the 1st of February to the 2nd of August, the United Kingdom recorded 742 Delta deaths. Out of the 742 deaths, 402 were fully vaccinated. 79 had received one shot. Only 253 were unvaccinated. So here's the bottom line. Check this out. This is the thing about statistics, too. You can use them and put them in certain orders to make it even more apparent to people. 402 deaths out of 47,008 cases in vaccinated, 253 deaths out of 151,054 cases in unvaccinated. So, if you get COVID having been vaccinated, according to this data, you are much more likely to die than if you were not vaccinated. Here's the math. An unvaccinated individual in the UK who contracts COVID has a 1 in 597 chance of dying. If you were unvaccinated in England right now and you contract COVID, your chance of dying from it is 1 in 507. If you are fully vaccinated in England, your chance of dying is 1 in 117, which is 5.1 times greater, to be exact. And they're going to give this stuff to our kids now? And I had a conversation with a doctor this weekend. Smart guy, guy I really like. There's a lot of good doctors out there. He is one of them. And it was so refreshing to talk to this doctor and find out that he thinks that our response to COVID is insane. He knows that masks do nothing. Of course, he works in a hospital. He's at risk of the state medical board revoking his license if he says anything too loudly or doesn't go along with all the theatrics, the religious rituals of the COVID cult, because your state medical board is consumed with this cult as well. Do these state medical boards, do they actually wear like the black cloaks with the hoods when they meet by candlelight in the new COVID cult they've created? But it was so refreshing to listen to him just saying, he just can't believe what we are seeing. And he continued to refer to the medical tyranny. He was just stunned. The other thing that was very interesting about it, this is a very accomplished surgeon, incredibly busy guy, he even has a side business. I mean, this is the kind of guy, I'm glad I like him, because he would really be very annoying to me. He does a lot of different things, is very successful at just about everything he touches. But it was interesting to me in talking to him about the vaccine and stuff. There was a lot of things that I told him that he had no idea about. Really? He said, I may need to take a look at some of that stuff. And this is the thing that's pretty amazing. Now, with this guy, and we need to all remember this, this is not only for doctors, this is for our fellow citizens. When we look at somebody, if you are resisting getting the jab and one of your friends gets the jab, your friend's not stupid. They just don't travel. They don't see the research that you see. A lot of people are busy living their lives and doing their jobs. There are engineers out there that know how to build bridges or build buildings or do stress tests on steel that I don't understand. And that's what they're consumed with day in, day out. And all they hear out of the side of their ear, hey, there's a vaccine that stops this coronavirus. And they go, oh, okay, I'll go get one. I've had other vaccines. That's all they know about it. It's not because they're stupid. It's because they haven't been presented with this information. You know, as I told the doctor the other day, I said, what I've been most shocked about is the fact that it has been the death of the second opinion here in the United States. Any doctors that dare diverge from the UMMC narrative, which is you must get the jab, you must wear a mask, you must stay at home, you're overwhelming the hospitals, it's all your fault if you're unvaccinated. If you go against that narrative, you're deplatformed, you're censored, you're marginalized, you're ridiculed. If you're in the medical field, you have your license stripped from you. You're fired from your job. I mean, it is just, the censorship is just unbelievable. We used to be able to talk to two doctors, and they might have completely different opinions, and it was up to you to decide which one you took. And neither one of the doctors felt they had an obligation or the ability to silence the other doctor. Now they do. There's no more second opinions now. You either go with it or you don't. You don't work anymore. So it was very interesting to know that the people in the medical field, they don't have time to do the stuff I do. They don't have the 6 hours a day that I take to do research and come on air. But I'll tell you what, you look at UK, you look at Israel, you look at Sweden. I mean, I don't know what else needs to transpire. The fact is that more people need to hear that information. I think there are some smart, rational people that are making bad mistakes, bad decisions for themselves, and are supporting policies that are not only ineffective, but have catastrophic other consequences, especially for our children, but for a lot of other people too. We've bankrupted thousands and thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of businesses. But people are going along with this because they don't know any better. So don't treat your friends who disagree with you as being stupid. They just don't know. My job here for 2 hours a day is I bring that information, I put it out there. What you do with it is up to you. I'll be right back. All right, final segment for the day. I can't believe we made through this show, really through today, with power out here in Flora. They may have fixed the Flora grid was not known for its reliability up to now. I don't want to speak disparagingly. Maybe they fixed it last time, because about a week ago it went out when the frog farted. I mean, it rained for about 3 minutes, a little bit of wind, boom, lights were out. So kudos to Entergy if they have made some changes, because we're still standing for right now. I will be blamed if we go out now, because I said that out loud and on the air, but we are here live. Jim Thorne is even gone. He's not providing any updates right now unless he finds something. He will call in if he gets something by phone. But this thing is really, looking at the news, the tropical storm is really just, it's breaking apart as it goes through Mississippi. It got the Madison household for sure. I've got one child down in Louisiana, down in Lafayette. He was pretty much spared too. They were expecting more there, but it started down there with him, came up through central Mississippi, and then my daughter is up in north Mississippi. So we're all getting a little taste of the same storm. Maybe that does something for our family unity. But anyway, it does look like for the vast majority of us, at least, the storm is breaking apart. I guess there's still possibility of spin-ups of wind and some unpredictable weather today. Maybe some more rain. So continue to be careful. And maybe it'd be kind of nice to, if you've still got power, to have a day where you can just relax inside the home without being under the mortal fear of a storm or of a virus. On the virus front stuff, as I just try to finish up today, I'm debating whether to play. I've got one story that's really, how much time have I got left here? I'll do this story. I was going to do one that might turn you against me, but I'll try to do a solid day where I don't tick anybody off. At least nobody on the sane side of the world. Nobody in Universe A, where we coexist with risk. We just coexist with it. I wake up every morning knowing I may not see tomorrow. I drive. You know, I live my life. I walk. I go down some stairs. You know, there's risk in my life all the time. I just coexist with it. I know it's there. That's Universe A, people who can coexist with the risk and do not need to be frightened into a totalitarian coma. That's the sane people. So I'll keep you with me because this really was some good news. This is a story on AP today. Let me pull it up here real quick and read the headline. I got to tell you, this headline, this may sound twisted that I got so excited about this, but here's the headline from AP. Hostile school board meetings have members calling it quits. And this story goes down. A Nevada school board member said he had thoughts of suicide before stepping down and threats of harassment. In Virginia, a board member resigned over what she saw as politics driving decisions on masks. The vitriol at board meetings in Wisconsin had one member fearing he would find his tires slashed. School board members are largely unpaid volunteers, traditionally former educators and parents who step forward to shape school policy, choose a superintendent and review the budget, but a growing number are resigning or questioning their willingness to serve as meetings have devolved into shouting contests between deeply divided political constituencies over how racial issues are taught, masks in schools, and COVID-19 vaccines and testing requirements. That is a victory to the parents who have finally gotten up off the couch and stopped and let these board members know what you're thinking. That is a huge victory. Now, I don't want any school board member to be contemplating suicide because you can't fade the heat. I know you're used to making decisions, really, decisions that a lot of people find despicable, and then just going on with your life. Just going into a school board meeting and go, well, I'm not going to look at any of the facts. I'm not going to look at any of the science. I'm going to listen to Anthony Fauci. He says masks, so force your child into a mask for 8 hours a day. And then you think you can just go home and do your thing. Parents have had it with you, and they're taking back their school boards. This is a big victory, and it should not stop. There's a lot left to be done. You need to be at these school board meetings the second they start talking about this vaccine for under 12 years old. Never been studied on them. I mean, it's being studied right now for a few months like they do all these things. And if every kid doesn't drop dead from the vaccine immediately, they'll go ahead and approve it. You need to continue to go to these school board meetings. You need to get the masks off of your kids. Do I need to go back to my statistics from earlier in the show? I will. I am. Where are we? 0 to 19. Infection survival rate. This is not the survival rate of every child. It's every child who is actually diagnosed with COVID. And you can rest assured a lot of kids got COVID that never got diagnosed. Their survival rate, even if it's a recognized infection, 99.9973%. Your child is not at risk of dying of COVID to any statistical significance. You need to keep your pressure on these school boards. No mandatory vaccines for the schools. Now, a lot of you have really enjoyed being a petty tyrant yourself over the years. Maybe I'm losing you now because I'm insulting you. But I've been shocked to see the parents that would line up and force every child that goes to a state-funded school to be compliant with the vaccine regimen because you didn't want your precious little cargo around an unvaccinated child. And Mississippi is one of the most draconian in vaccine requirements. Now you see, maybe it's not a great idea to leave the government in charge of your health care, your health decisions, but they're going to try to vaccinate your children. You need to continue the pressure on these school boards, and then we need to take it to the next level. And politicians need to feel this same heat. There are a lot of politicians that need to fear for their lives. And I don't mean that like threats of violence. I mean, they need to go home at the end of the day and say, this ain't worth it. The people are angry. The politicians voting for all of these restrictions and bossing us around and controlling our lives need to feel the same heat these school boards are. They need to quit as well. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.